Yo, bro Key, what's happening?
Yo, good evening, good
How are you
evening.
doing?
Doing just lovely. How are you?
I'm doing great. This is my favorite part of the week. We
Nice.
get together and kind of talk a little
I'm
bit. So,
excited.
yeah, it's fun. I was
Absolutely.
telling when we were doing our little sound check and everything like that, we were talking about some of the stuff that you've been learning, and it's been kind of cool, honestly. Like I was saying, I was telling you, like I'm super, like I know it's weird, son talking to dad, but like I'm super proud of you for like the technologies and stuff that you've been using. Like we're over here, we're leveraging, we've got Discord on right now. We've got we're doing a live stream of the actual bracket that we're gonna do, and you brought that up, and you got like a little bit of troubleshooting stuff that you had to do on your side. There was some feedback, and you were able to go. You're like, oh, wait a minute, let me go and adjust this. And so it's been really neat for actually both of us, kind of the learning experience. So I it's been pretty cool.
Yeah, and something new to me too is on our third podcast here is I've learned how to use the internet a whole lot more on opening up some of the sites to where I have three or four sites that I can look at and get the scores and who's scoring what and rebounding what and everything, but I have them all open, which I've never knew how to do in the past.
Yeah, look, we're getting you're going to be more efficient, when you're at work going through stuff and have all these different things. We're going to have you being a power user before you know it.
Okay, we'll do that. We'll do that.
First, let's talk about our week, right? That's part of the purpose of this podcast is just to kind of catch up and give us an opportunity, to slow down our busy weeks and take a moment to kind of chat about some stuff. Do you guys do anything special as a family? Any of the any of my other siblings, Casey and Christopher, anything? Y'all do anything?
No, not really. It was a laid back weekend this weekend. We didn't do our traditional week out weekend out on a beach walk or anything, but
How was
it was
the weather? Was it cold there or what?
it was roughly about what it is now. It
Yeah.
was partly cloudy, little bit of rain, but overall I'll take it
Yeah.
in March anytime.
Yeah, it's been kind of chilly here in the mornings. We get up and it's around 35 degrees and then it warms up to 60. It's like this really crazy swing of temperatures trying to plan for it throughout the days and stuff. But like this weekend I worked on my standing desks and got those all done. So now I have a motorized standing desk where I have everything set up so that I can sit if I want to, and then I hit a button and it raises it up to the right height.
Okay. The things that I've seen on TV and everything, huh?
Yeah, and it's pretty
Okay.
cool. It gets, they're level. They're about 39 inches off the ground or whatever, and it's a perfect height. I like it a lot. And I got
Okay.
two of them. I got Jill one as well, so that she can use it as a standing desk or sitting desk when she's working from home and things. We painted, which I hate painting. I don't know how much painting
Oh,
you guys do
yeah.
anymore, but I like.
No, well,
It's one
we
of those.
haven't, but we need to,
It's
so
one of
yeah.
those things you get into. You're like, painting is not that hard. You're gonna get in there. You're just gonna roll it on. But as soon as you start into it, like for me at least, I feel like I'm over my head. I'm like, oh, now I gotta edge. I'm gonna get paint on the other wall, and I ended up getting paint on the floor. I stepped in it. It was a complete and utter disaster. But we got the wall painted. It's done. I cleaned up all my
How
mess
about
and
the kids?
everything.
Did they help you into it?
They asked, but I was already frustrated and I didn't want to yell at them, and I was already pissed off at myself for trying to get it done and feeling like it's something that I should have been able to do fairly easily, and I was making a just
Yeah.
complete mockery of it, so I decided to leave them out of
That's
it.
usually the yeah, that's usually the way the paint parties turn
Turn
out
out,
anyway.
yeah.
So don't feel bad.
Yeah, and then we watched the Birmingham Legion. That's the Birmingham soccer team that's here. We watched them actually on ESPN Plus, which was a fantastic, broadcast of the actual game. It was really good to watch. They lost again, lost 1-0, but they looked a lot better as far as like an expansion team. And then we watched Birmingham Iron play this weekend, and that was really
Okay.
cool. Watched them again on TV and just watched them win. They won. They actually did win, so that was great. And then, what else did I do? I made this. I haven't shown you pictures of this. I need to show you some pictures. I built this It's a scoreboard. It's an LED scoreboard that keeps track of the scores in the MLB games during the day. And it, like, right now it's got the Red Sox and Orioles game up in the bottom of the ninth, and the Sox are up 6-4. But it's kind of neat because it's on, it's kind of just off to the side, and it tracks the game real time and updates the score, tells me who's on base and stuff. I'll get you some pictures, and I'll try to put something up on the website as well, so that if anybody who's listening to this wants to go and see them, it's going to be on pdubsquared.com, and I'll post something over there. And then I was also planning on doing like a special small short episode of the podcast where I talk about some of the equipment. I've had a lot of people. So last week we had over 40 people who downloaded and listened to the episode, which was pretty cool. The first week we had just over
30. Keep tuning in.
Yeah, we had just over 30 the first week. We had 40 last week. And the only notes that I really got from anybody was they were just kind of curious about the setup and how I've got everything done. So I'm going to take a couple of pictures of the equipment that I have, and I think I'll create a small short blog post and do a small solo episode where I just talk about it, and we'll post it up there for everybody to kind of look at, so that to kind of answer those questions, because I keep getting those. But yeah, that's kind of my, it was jam-packed again, really, really busy weekend, a really busy week as far as everything like that. But I like it when it's busy, because, you know, not idle hands. So it was a good time.
Yeah, you usually stay busy, so that's a good thing.
So let's get into a couple of news items. There's not too much. I wanted to keep the news items kind of low this week so that we could spend some time on the bracket and try to focus on that. But I don't know how we could go through the week without talking about the largest sports contract in the history of professional sports.
Yeah, how about that?
Mm-hmm. I mean, insane. And like the crazy thing is, so we're talking about the Mike Trout contract. I don't know that it's officially signed, but they're in the final stages of it. It's reported to be a 12-year contract, $430 million contract over that 12 years. Full, that's no opt-outs and a full no-trade clause included as well. So I think it's kind of cool, because we were just talking about the other day with you. You were talking about how players don't go to a team and don't stay with a team forever. And Mike Trout's doing that. He's going to a team that is historically not good. He's never won a playoff game there. And he's going to be, for all intents and purposes, he's going to be a Los Angeles Angel for the rest of his career.
Yeah, it looks like the trend has turned the tide just a little bit, in my opinion, maybe in the next few years, with Machado and Trout and, you know, these other players just signing these long-term contracts, with Harper signing his 13-year contract. And, you know, I don't know if it's about the money, or are they going to try to be dedicated to these teams for this long period of time? This is really hasn't happened. The last contract, something like this, was with Carlos Stanton, where he signed a 13-year contract for $325 million. But that was back in 2014.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it has to do with the way that the way that the structuring of the contracts are now. So they get a lot of control over the guys in the early younger years, and so when these guys get to the point of where they're in free agency, unfortunately, fortunately, it really just depends on how you look at it. They're looking at being in their 26th to 28th year before they hit free agency. And a lot of teams aren't going to want to spend a lot of big money on a guy who's going to be going into his 30s, right? I believe 30 to 32 is the peak year for most individuals with regards to baseball. So I think that that's where you're going to see, and why you're seeing the longer contracts and why they want to sign those, because they want the guaranteed money going into the long run.
Yeah, well, what's unbelievable too is Mike Trout's original contract that he signed was a 6-year contract for $144 million.
And that got him through his arbitration years, yeah.
And, you know, here we are, 2019. That's a big jump of money in a contract.
Not really. He's getting
that short of a time.
He's being paid currently $33.2 million per year on his existing contract. And that would have happened for this year and next year. Basically, the new contract pays him $35.8 million a year. So it's really only a small bump, like a $2.6 million per year bump, but it's the longevity of the contract, which here's some of the crazy things. Okay, so this is the largest contract in professional sport, or the largest contract in professional sports by far.
Yes, it is. Correct.
And the crazy thing about it is that technically this is a team friendly deal for Mike Trout to do this with the Angels. Like if he were to hit free agency based on some of the calculations that they say that you pay one WAR is worth about $8 million on a contract, give or take. There's a lot of different stuff out there. But he could have made $79 million based off of some of those calculations and what the value of a WAR is. Real quick, I'll jump into a couple of different stats that I thought were really, really cool surrounding this. And you'll always find really neat Mike Trout stats. He's the best baseball player, hands down, probably to ever play the game of baseball. It's crazy. But over the course of this contract, in order for him to hit the 500 home run mark and the 100 WAR mark, he only needs to average 22 home runs per season and around 3 WAR. He currently averages 9 WAR per season and around 30 home runs. So, you know, as long as he stays somewhat consistent to what he is now, he's a lock for that. And these averages that he has right now includes his first season, which was only 40 games, and the 2017 season where he got injured and only played 140 of the 162 games.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's pretty crazy.
I believe we talked about this in our last podcast that with Mike Trout being on and off the field is a professional.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
And they were interviewing some of the other players in MLB that says, if there's anybody who deserves that contract, it is Mike Trout.
Yeah.
They didn't say that about Bryce Harper. They didn't say that about Machado or Arenado. But that says a lot about a player who just carries himself professionally.
Yeah.
And some of these other players that are just making millions and millions and hundreds of millions of dollars, and then they just show their, you know, their temperamental, as I always said, their immaturity, just says a lot about Mike Trout, like I said.
Well, I mean, when you talk about whether or not he deserved it or not, like one of the really cool things.
Well, he does. The players were saying that. You know?
Yeah, but yeah. So like again, I know I talk about WAR a lot. It's a pretty easy stat to kind of judge.
So
players.
So explain to the listeners what the WAR is.
So if you're not familiar with baseball statistics, WAR it's WAR. It stands for wins above replacement, and basically what a replacement player is your average baseball player. It's a guy that you could pull up from just about any AAA team, put him into a spot, and that guy's going to produce zero WAR. And there's a whole bunch of random calculations. If you want to know more about it, you can go to fangraphs.com and look it up, and they detail it out, and they go into great detail. But the basic premise of it is you basically use it to show how many games a particular player gave you over a replacement player. So to say somebody made 9 WAR in a season, you're saying with Mike Trout in the outfield, he has produced 9 wins more for this team than they would have had if they had just placed any random Joe out into that position. It's not foolproof. It's not the best statistic. You don't want to just use it, but generally speaking, it does a pretty good job. And for the most part, a guy who's doing about 6 WAR is in the All-Star game. It's just a general frame of thought for it. One of the really cool things with regards to whether or not Mike Trout deserves this or not is looking at some of his stats over the last, or his WAR stats over the last several years, 6 or 7 years. So between 2012 and 2018, Mike Trout has been as good as Bryce and Manny. In fact, during that period, 2012 to 2018, Bryce put up 30.7 WAR total over that period. Manny Machado put up 30.2 WAR. So combined, they're about 60.9 WAR. Mike Trout put up 64 WAR on his own during that same period of time. He is technically, based off of that statistic, worth twice as much as both of them combined. So to think about it like that and see what the type of contract he gets, you can understand why it's such a crazy deal. Like, even if he didn't produce any more war right now, based off of his current status and where he's at right now, the contract that he got paid right now, they've already gotten their worth out of it. It's just absolutely insane.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, you have some of these players, big name players, and probably future Hall of Famers like an Albert Pujols and a Chris Bryant with a Chicago Cubs. They're talking about him being one of those players that comes around once every 50 to 100 years.
Right.
When that is said from some of these players, that goes a long way.
Yeah.
And, you know, when he signs something like a contract that he did, like the one that Machado signed, mm-hmm. is he worth that much of what he signed for?
He's getting a look at it. He sold $3 million worth more tickets within the 2 weeks after he was there. You know, when you talk about whether or not these guys are worth it, you know, where else are these guys going to be, these managers and owners and stuff, where else are they going to be spending the money? So it's tough to really quantify whether or not he's worth it. But ultimately, you're only worth what someone's going to pay for you. So I'd say that they're all worth it.
And I would take the money too if the owner's willing pay me that much.
Manny Machado's going to be like, you know, I really think you got hosed in this deal. I think what we're going to do, I'm only going to take $170 million over the contract. You know, it's not going to get that. So Mike Trout, great for him, great for the Angels, great. I mean, fantastic for baseball. It's really going to be good to see him play it out there. I really hope that with him, Shohei Ohtani, I'm probably pronouncing that wrong, and the prospects that they've got coming up through their pipeline, that they've got the ability to really turn it around out there. I don't want them, obviously, to be better than the Orioles, but the Orioles are going to be garbage for the next foreseeable future, 2 to 3 years. So I'm definitely going to be keeping an eye on Trout and seeing how he does.
Congratulations to him.
Yeah. The other story that we have that I kind of wanted to touch on, and it has nothing to do with you know, the major sports, but UFC just inked a new deal with ESPN Plus for their pay-per-views in the U.S. I don't know if you heard about this story or if you know much about it, but basically
they say it's groundbreaking. Yes.
Yeah, I'm not fully understanding it. I don't get where UFC thought that this was going to be a good idea. It seems like an additional hurdle that the average consumer is going to have to go over. Being a guy who's dealt with IT and people who aren't very strong with utilizing technology in most cases, now saying that they've got to go basically through an app. They can't just go through their normal cable box to purchase the pay-per-view.
So let me ask you this. Yeah. Is the pay-per-view, that's cable affiliated?
It is.
Correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So they're taking that away from the pay-per-view and going with ESPN.
So they're not taking it from the pay-per-view, though. The pay-per-view is still going to be a big piece of it, but in order to purchase the pay-per-view, you have to buy it through the ESPN Plus app. That's where the difference is.
So ESPN is actually getting a piece of the pie.
Yes. As part of this deal, they are. And I don't know. I mean, I guess that upper management, so they've had some ESPN Plus exclusive fights. I'm a huge UFC fan. I watch a lot of the fights, specifically because they come on Saturdays.
Big news about Dillashaw just happened to relinquish his title.
Yeah, and I mean, it's probably rightly so, but you know, we'll see what happens. And
I agree.
So, yeah.
Sure.
With the ESPN Plus thing, I have an ESPN Plus subscriber, so this is cool for me, but I'm curious really what the number of users are for that. And the first one that they do, the first pay-per-view, I would love to see the numbers and see what the difference is regarding the sales that they get, because they are still going to do standard pay-per-view for like bars. They're still going to do standard pay-per-view for overseas, all the other different range regions that are going on. It's only in the U.S., and I don't know. Like I said, to me, it's strange. It seems like an additional hurdle. Now, the flip side of that is I think that this is kind of where everything's going, right? A lot of the younger generation, that 25 to 34 group who I've just recently aged out of, they fit into that bucket of they're streaming everything. They may not have a cable subscription, so this kind of works for them, and it gives ESPN Plus a reason to have additional subscribers. So I see ESPN Plus's side of it. I'm just trying to really understand the UFC side, unless there's a lot of money involved.
Yeah, and they said that it might be just a little bit going down on a cost too. The original pay-per-view fight cards was like right at $60, and I'm sorry, right at $65, and now it's going to be right at $60. So
Okay.
whatever that we'll see if the people who get into that kind of stuff, see how much that goes up from subscribing. So we'll
Yeah.
see.
And they're also given discounts, which is nice. So I believe that you get a year's worth of ESPN Plus, and you bundle that with a UFC pay-per-view, and you get the pay-per-view for like $30, and you get the ESPN Plus. I can't remember the exact totals. I don't have them in front of me, but they're doing something so that it does kind of benefit the subscriber or the consumer a little bit there. So, but yeah, I'm really interested to see how that plays out. I thought it was fairly big news specifically for UFC. I love to see them getting more involved with ESPN because it legitimizes the sport even more. So I'm pretty excited about that. Other than that, I think we can get into it. I think we can start talking some March Madness. I know we're into that right now, and kind of everybody's going to start watching that. We're going to have a lot of people who are watching it during work and losing a lot of productivity time. So I wanted to be able to do this live and kind of just talk through it. I've not done really any research at all on this. I kind of pick the teams based off of like logos and stuff, but I know that you have a little bit more insight. I know that this is kind of your wheelhouse. You love basketball. And so I'm going to let you kind of talk through a little bit of things and just kind of talk about the teams and stuff. So.
Yeah, well, everybody, I think, in my opinion, is looking forward to seeing Zion Williams
Oh yeah, absolutely.
come on to the court.
Yep.
And I'm even looking forward to that. But one of my main excitements looking toward this tournament is Ja Morant from Murray State.
Okay.
I haven't really heard much about him. Up until he had that highlight, ESPN top 10, it might have even made the number one highlight where he did a slam dunk where he jumped over a player and slammed it. And then he just, and of course, it was probably, YouTubed and Facebooked and everything else where it just went viral. And that's when he became a phenom
Right.
in the college basketball world. And ever since then, I've heard nothing but good things about him.
Yeah. Well, it's not looking good for them as far as that matchup goes. It looks like the game predictor has
Well,
has them losing, but
and
it's close.
that doesn't matter. All of these experts are always going to pick the highest seeds. Okay,
Yeah.
I have that as one of my upsets in the tournament.
Okay.
I don't care what anybody says; they can chime in or whatever and give their comments. But I've got Murray State. That's one of my upsets. I think I got like four or five upsets in this whole bracket assembly.
I'll tell you right
But
now, last year.
I have them. He's just very exciting to watch, and I've seen one of the games, and I've seen many highlights, and that's what people like to tune into on morning ESPN to watch someone like that.
Yeah, I would 100% agree. I was gonna say last year, I remember where I was filling out this bracket, and I let the girls help me fill it out, and I just kind of let them choose whatever teams they wanted to do. And it basically turned out to be a princess bracket. They would pick the number 12, the number 13, well, sure. the number 8, and they were just, you know, they were randomly picking the teams based off of whatever, you know, reason that either the logo looks cool or they like the name or something like that. And so it was kind of fun doing that. So we'll get into this. Over here in the East, we've got, I think it's kind of a lock for Duke. I'm not too concerned about them against the number 16. I don't see that being an issue. Even if they have something similar where Zion blows his shoe out again, I don't see something like that causing Duke to lose that game. VCU versus UCF. This is kind of a tougher one. If I'm thinking football, I go UCF, but here I'm thinking probably VCU. Who do you got?
I've got VCU in this game.
Yeah.
You know, when you have a number 8 and a number 9 going against each other in the brackets, that's a toss-up.
Yeah.
A lot of the people with, you know, Virginia against Gardner-Webb, 1 against 16, of course, who are they going to pick? Yeah. But when you got an 8 or 9, it's sort of a, you know, a teeter-totter as to which one you're going to go with. But with me, I'm going with the VCU on that. And probably the teeter-totter lean my way just because, you know, I'm from Virginia.
Yeah.
And but we'll see how that's going to be. It's probably going to be a great game, though.
Yeah, I think it's going to be good as well. As far as Mississippi State Liberty, again, SEC sports is always huge around here. You hear a lot of people talk. Mississippi State, both their men's and their women's basketball this year has been fantastic. I got to go with Mississippi State on that.
Yeah, and I'm going with Mississippi State also on that one.
Yep. Virginia Tech, St. Louis. I don't know anything about St. Louis, but I think it's kind of hard to say that Virginia Tech's going to lose this one. Going at the game predictor, it looks about the same. The team rankings have them at about an 88% as far as the decision tree goes. Who do you got in that game?
Pretty much Virginia Tech.
Yeah.
You know, number four against number 13. You know, Virginia Tech has they've done pretty good this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're averaging 74 points a game. And they got a gentleman, Alexander Walker. He's averaging 16 points and 4 rebounds a game with 4 assists.
Wow.
But once again, I'm from Virginia doesn't naturally tilt that teeter-totter my way, but I'm going with Virginia Tech.
Going with Virginia Tech, too. Now, the next one here, Maryland versus Belmont. This is the one that's got me a little bit tied up. I think Belmont has a little bit stronger offense. It shows in the, how well they've been doing this year, 26-5. Granted, they're in a lesser conference, but look at their points per game here. They've been putting up 87.4 points per game against competition versus Maryland, who's putting up 71. Again, Maryland plays in a much tougher conference, so maybe that has a little bit to do with it. But to me, this is the one that I saw that I was looking at that's going to kind of raise a couple of eyebrows. I'm going to take Belmont here. I think that's going to be my Cinderella story for the bracket. I don't think that they're going to go much farther than that, again, because the next one here is LSU versus Yale. I got LSU, and I think LSU will take him in the next round. But I do believe that Belmont has a chance here against Maryland.
Okay. Well, I'll go with the Maryland.
Okay.
And I'm going with the LSU on that.
Okay. You have LSU versus Yale. You said you took LSU.
Oh, yeah, just because LSU's having a great year this year.
Yeah, Yale is also, but Yale's one of those schools that'll catch you by storm. This looks like a fairly nice matchup using the stats. Again, you got to be careful with those, but I mean, they're both fairly offensive teams. They're allowing about the same amount of points on both sides. It looks like a very even matchup in that. But again, the kind of the experts have this one at, you know, 94% or so towards LSU, and I'm going to have to agree with them
here. And Yale's definitely having a great year, being at 22-7 this year.
Yeah.
surprisingly, you know, but, you know, once again, it goes with the conference that they're in. That's always the argument, you know, with the Gonzaga, the conference that they're in, and how they're being a number one seed. But, you know, they were ranked number one in the nation. I don't know how many weeks, but that was well deserved on the great year that they're having, and we'll see how far they go.
Louisville, Minnesota, I don't have too many things to say about either one of these teams. I'm going to go Louisville. I believe it isn't Minnesota, the Gophers, I believe.
Yes, they are.
I like their logo, but I'm going to have to go with the Cardinals on that one. So,
yeah, well, I'm going with Louisville too. Once again, this is a close number seed together, number 7 against number 10.
Yep.
And some of the experts are probably like going one way or the other. They're, you know, one game away from their record throughout the season. Minnesota at 21-13, and Louisville 20-13. Louisville averaging about 74 points a game, with Minnesota 70. But, you know, Louisville comes from a program that has been in the NCAA tournament for many and many years, going back with the Denny Crum program. And, you know, year after year, they're just showing that they are still strong. The recruiting is still strong, and their future is looking bright.
Yeah. One thing to keep an eye on, again, and this is why I probably won't take Louisville too much further than the first round here. The Cardinals lost 8 of their last 12, 5 of which came from teams ranked in the top 5 at the time that they played them. So that's pretty significant. They're fairly defensive, but you know, I don't see them getting much farther out of that. As far as Michigan State and Bradley, I think this is a no-brainer. I think Michigan State runs away with this. I think it'll be fairly cut and dry. You?
Yes, without a doubt. Okay. Yes.
Virginia Gardner-Webb, right? So last year, Virginia shocked the world by losing to the number 16 seed in the NCAA tournament last year. And so I've seen a lot of people making comments, snarky comments about Virginia. I don't see that happening again this year. I see them doing just fine and being taking this one and running away with it. So I've got Virginia in this one. Who do you got?
So what I'm looking at this game, I'm going to go, of course, with Virginia, with them being a number one seed. They were ranked number one in the country for a little while. And I think they're looking at the back of their mind from last year being knocked out.
Yeah, in the first round and just being completely
And they're going to be more focused. They're going to be more focused than ever. Yep. They got, you know, 3 strong scores with Guy Hunter and Jerome at 15 points and 15 points and 13 points, respectively. And this team, the Cavaliers, are going to go a long way in this tournament, in my opinion.
Absolutely. Next one here, we've got Ole Miss and Oklahoma. On tight ones, I always have a rule of thumb where I don't take the SEC team. I just can't do it. I have a bias towards SEC teams living here in the South, and I tend to pick them, and they always disappoint me. So I'm going to go with Oklahoma here. It seems that most individuals are taking Ole Miss on this one, but the power rankings edge out towards Oklahoma's favor. And I think that I'm going to have to agree with them here.
Yeah, I'm going with the Oklahoma Sooners on this one.
Awesome.
It's one of those mediocre seedings.
Yep.
Sort of strong, sort of weak. And this one can tilt either way. And it's almost like flip of the coin. Okay. So I'm going with Oklahoma on that one.
All right, sounds good. Wisconsin versus Oregon. I'm going to take Wisconsin here. That seems to be the de facto. But as far as similar games that they've played this year between the two teams, Oregon edges them out a little bit, but I don't think that that's enough to swing my decision here to go with Wisconsin. I like watching Wisconsin basketball.
Yeah. With that one, I'm going with Wisconsin.
Okay. Let's see, Kansas State versus UC Irvine. Who do you got?
Kansas State.
Got
I've got
Kansas State.
Kansas State, the number 4 seed against the number 13 seed, Irvine. I'm going with Kansas State on that one.
Yep, me as well. Villanova, St. Mary's, these are always the toss-up ones, that 6 versus a number 11 seed. For whatever reason, those tend to be very exciting games for whatever reasons that they are. And, I'm going to go with Villanova here just because they're a storied team. They're, they're constantly that team that's kind of in the background and wins games. And I'm going to stick with them on that.
Yeah, once again, like you were saying, number 6 Villanova against number 11 St. Mary's. Are they evenly matched? No. But I'm just going with Villanova just because of the program. They're always in the NCAA tournament. They've been known to win in the NCAA tournament. And I have a feeling that they might just go to the Sweet 16 this year with that.
Yeah, interesting.
Yes.
Next matchup we have here, Purdue versus Old Dominion. I'm taking Purdue.
Okay, this is one of my big upsets. I'm going with Old Dominion on this one.
That's homerism, isn't it?
once again,
Virginia.
Let's go Old Dominion University from Virginia. Yeah. Okay, but Old Dominion is a proven program this year. Their record speaks for itself. They're 26-8. The seeding is probably a little low because of the conference that they're in. But, they got some scores on their team with Stith and Carver, averaging Stith almost 16.9, right at 17, and then Caver right at 16.5. They've had a really, really great year this year, and I'm pretty proud of them.
Okay, awesome. Well, I don't know that I'd be proud enough to take them over a number 3 seed here. I'm not, but it'll be interesting to see how that goes. All right, so our next matchup here is going to be Cincinnati versus Iowa. I'm taking this is tough. I'm going to take Cincinnati here. I think I think that they're doing enough. I don't know. I'm looking at this.
Yeah. I know. That I've got on my bracket next to it. It's a toss up. But I'm going with the Bearcats.
Yeah, I think I'm going to stick with my original decision here and stick with Cincinnati. Tennessee versus Colgate. This is a pretty interesting one. Tennessee has been doing pretty decent this season as far as competing. I've watched a couple of games with them, so I'm fairly impressed with the offense that they're able to put up here. They've got 81, almost 82 points per game, and they're playing the number 15 seed, so I'm thinking it's pretty much a wrap. Tennessee's going to take that one easy.
Yeah, I'm going with the Volunteers myself, with them averaging right at 82 points a game, like you said. They're pretty deep in their starting five. Four out of the five averaging doubles, double digits, with Williams averaging close to 20 points, Schofield 16, and Bone at 13. And then you got Turner and Bowden both averaging just over 10.5 points. And, this is a team that knows how to play defense too. Rick Barnes is just a heck of a coach. He's a player's coach. And when when some of these players say that they want to be Rick Barnes's best player on the team, I think that says a lot for the coach, for Coach Barnes.
Yeah, absolutely. I think for the next ones here, unless we have like a really big upset or we want to talk about something, I'm going to kind of speed through these a little bit so we can, we don't turn this into an hour and a half podcast.
I agree.
I'm catching a couple of things I got to do here at the house too. So Gonzaga, Dickinson, I think everybody's going to go with Gonzaga there. You as well.
I'm with Gonzaga, right on cue with that.
Syracuse, Baylor. Who do you got?
Well, I'm going with Syracuse, with that program. Once again, they're a solid program throughout the years with Jim Boeheim, and, they're going to go a little ways on in the tournament.
I, too, am going to go with Syracuse. And I know this next one here, this is the one you were talking about a little bit at the top of the that section that we're talking about here, Murray State versus Marquette. And you've got them as your upset, right, Murray State?
I do. And one of the reasons this is because the Ja Morant.
Yeah.
That guy's a superstar in college basketball. He's going to be a top three pick, in my opinion. And I'm really looking forward to seeing him on TV.
Yeah, absolutely. I as well am looking forward to seeing him on TV, but only for one game. So I'm going with Marquette in that one. Florida State versus Vermont.
Florida State versus Vermont.
Number 4 versus number 13. I'm going to take in Florida State on that one.
Where are you at on this here?
It's west. It's in the west.
Over in the west.
Yeah.
Florida State, yeah. And with that one, I'm going with Florida State on that one.
Yeah.
They look good against some of the teams in the ACC during their games. I've seen them play on TV because we get a lot of ACC programs on the games, and they look pretty impressive.
Yeah. The next one here is Buffalo versus what looks to be ASU San Jose University. I'm not really too sure who this is. They don't even have an
one of the like a playing game or something.
Yeah. I guess whoever wins that game, they'll play in and take it. I'm taking Buffalo here. I'm not even going to take any momentum on whoever wins that game to do anything here.
No, I'm going with Buffalo. They've had a great season this year. Yeah. So,
Texas Tech versus North Kentucky. Who are you going with?
Going with the number 3 seed. Texas Tech.
I am as well. I'm going to leave it where it's at. Nevada versus Florida. This is another one of those tricky ones that generally will set people off. Florida generally has a pretty good basketball program. They're fairly well storied within over the last couple of decades, but I'm going to go with Nevada here and stick with the higher seed.
Absolutely. That's the way I'm going. I'm going with Nevada on that one.
Yeah.
And we'll have to see exactly where that one's going
to
go.
They seem to be a high offense team. They definitely like to score some points. But again, it might just be conference, skill level and who they're playing. But I'm thinking that that's still going to be a pretty good game. The next one here.
Go ahead.
Michigan versus Montana. Taking Michigan. I'm probably not going to take anybody. I'd pretty much take the 1 through 4 seeds at this point. But taking Michigan here.
Michigan with that. That's a no-brainer on that one, in my opinion.
Yeah. The next one here we've got is North Carolina versus Iona. And, I'm taking North Carolina. I'm not thinking that they're going to lose that one at all.
I wonder who's not taking North Carolina in that one.
I'm sure there are people that are doing it, but I don't know their thought process.
It has to be putting down money on a Vegas bet.
Yeah, exactly. Utah State versus Washington, another one of those 8 versus 9. I am going to take Utah State here. It seems like
that's the way I went. I went with Utah State on that one.
I don't have too much to say. Auburn versus New Mexico State. I hate choosing Auburn for anything as an Alabama fan, but honestly, I think that they've got the upper hand here. And they've been playing fantastic basketball. That is now a basketball school. They are not a football school anymore, and their basketball program has been fairly fantastic. So,
well, for them to be a number 5 seed in the basketball program coming out of the SEC, to be honest with you, that says a lot for how far their program has come through the basketball program.
Yeah, absolutely. The next one here, Kansas versus Northeastern. Going to have to take Kansas. They're always fairly good going into the NCAA championship here, tournament rather, and I'm just going to go ahead and stick with them.
Well, they're always a proven program in NCAA tournament. And, of course, I'm going with number 4, Kansas.
Sounds good. Iowa State versus Ohio State. I'm gonna stick with Iowa State. I got a buddy, Cyrus, who I grew up with over there in Virginia. For whatever reason, I don't know why he's an Iowa State fan, but he is a huge Iowa State fan. And he's constantly posting about him on Facebook, and so it's like drilled into my head that I've got to go for Iowa State. So that's where I'm going to go with them.
And I'm going with the number six Iowa State myself.
Sounds good. Houston versus Georgia State.
I'm going with the number three seed. Yeah. Houston.
Yeah, going with Houston as well. They don't seem to be as high powered, but versus top 25, Georgia State hasn't really done the things that they've needed to do, and Houston has put it away. So I think that they're going to be pretty strong there. The next one is Wofford versus Seton Hall. This is tough for me. Seton Hall has one of those teams that, for whatever reason, occasionally will just come out of nowhere. This year doesn't seem like the experts think that that's going to be the case. They think Wofford is going to walk away with this one. But I think I'm going to take this. I'm going to take Seton Hall there as the a little bit of a Cinderella story.
Yeah, I'm going with Wofford on that one, with them being the number seven seed over the number 10 Seton Hall.
Yeah.
This year, they've had an unbelievable year at 29-4, averaging 83 points a game. They've got the longest active string, winning string in the country at 20 games right now. And how far that's going to take them, I don't know. But I've got Wofford going all the way on that one.
Awesome. All right, so now Kentucky versus Abel Christian. I don't know that
school. Abilene.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Abilene. Christian. Yeah, so that's going to tell you who I'm taking. I don't even know what the heck their name is. We're going to go with Kentucky there.
Yeah, we'll go with number two, Kentucky. They're a proven program, and they'll probably go a long way in this tournament too.
All right, let's go back to the top of our bracket here, starting in the East, and then we're just going to kind of blaze through these a little bit. Duke, VCU? Treat this
Duke,
one a little
VCU. Bit. Duke, VCU?
Oh, well, so this is going to be a little bit different for me than it is for you on a lot of these.
Sure. So. But, of course, Duke's going to advance at that point to the Sweet 16.
Okay. Virginia Tech, Mississippi State.
Yeah, well, at this point right now, I've got Virginia Tech, number four seed over the number five seed, Mississippi State.
I'm taking Mississippi State. I like them as a ball club. Like I said earlier, I don't like to take SEC teams, but I got to go against Virginia Tech on this one. My Cinderella story over in Belmont versus LSU, this is, for me, this is where they stop. You probably have Maryland here, though, right?
I do.
Yeah, so Maryland, LSU.
I've got LSU advancing to the Sweet 16.
Sounds good. Louisville versus Michigan State. I'm taking Michigan State here.
I'm going with Michigan State on this one, too. Right. Tom Izzo is just a professional, does a professional coaching job, in my opinion, at the college level. Can he go to the pro level? Yeah. And he takes his kids to another level. So I look at Michigan State going to the Sweet 16.
Very cool. Duke, Mississippi State. You've got Virginia Tech here. So Duke versus Virginia Tech on your side?
No, I got Duke, Michigan State.
No, you're one too far. So you took Duke versus Virginia Tech then?
Yes, I did.
Okay. I'm taking Duke over Mississippi State as well. And then down here, I've got LSU and Michigan State, so I'll do those real quick.
Correct.
I think I'm gonna take LSU here, and I'll have Duke, LSU sitting in the Sweet 16. And for me, I think I gotta take Duke. I think Duke will probably be in the national championship game this year. So I'm just gonna continue on with them.
Okay. All right, what I got is I got Duke and Michigan State going to the Elite Eight.
Okay.
You know, two top coaches going against each other with Krzyzewski and Izzo.
Mm-hmm.
But I've got Duke coming out on top going to the Final Four.
Okay. So going over to the other side, back to the 32, we have Virginia versus Oklahoma. I believe we were the same there. Maybe you took Ole Miss, didn't you? Or did you take Oklahoma?
I took Oklahoma.
Okay. Virginia, Oklahoma. Who do you got?
Got Virginia advancing.
Okay. Wisconsin versus Kansas State. I'm taking Kansas State, or do I take the Badgers? I'm taking Kansas State. I'm gonna keep with them.
Okay, well, I got Wisconsin.
Okay. Villanova, Purdue. This is a tough one here. I know you have Old Dominion coming into this, so you're probably taking Villanova. I'm actually going to take Villanova as well here.
I got Villanova advancing to the Sweet 16.
And my next one is Cincinnati versus Tennessee, and I'm taking Tennessee there.
Yeah, I'm going with Tennessee too. That's a proven program this year, so I'm going with Tennessee.
For me, I've got Virginia, Kansas State in the Sweet 16. I'm taking Virginia. And I've got Tennessee,
And
Villanova, and I'm going to take Tennessee there.
okay, so you're talking in Sweet 16. I got Virginia and Wisconsin, and I got Virginia advancing to the Elite Eight, and then I got Villanova and Tennessee advancing to the Sweet 16, with Tennessee advancing to the Elite Eight.
Okay, sounds good. So let's go down to the West and we'll work our way through that. I've got Gonzaga Syracuse in at the 32, and I'm taking Gonzaga there.
And I got Gonzaga as well. I was sort of turning the coins on that one, and with the Jim Boeheim program, but still, that Gonzaga team's looking good.
Sounds good. Marquette versus Florida State is who I've got on the next one here. You have Murray State and I think Florida State.
Vermont.
You're taking you have Vermont. Oh, you took Vermont over Florida State?
Yes, I
Oh
did.
wow,
That
so
was one of
you
my
took
upsets
two
on that.
huge ones here. You got number 12 and
And
13 advance into that.
that is correct.
Okay. So who do you got winning that game?
Between Murray State and Vermont, I still got Murray State going further with Ja Morant going
Nice.
to the Sweet 16.
Wow.
So if he can go to the Sweet 16, you don't think the whole nation's going to be looking at that game? Holy moly,
Yeah.
donut shop.
It's gonna be yeah, it's definitely gonna be huge. Buffalo, Texas Tech, number 6 versus 3 seed. I'm taking Texas Tech here.
I've loved Buffalo's season this year, and being a high number six this year. What a proven program that they put together. But I've got Texas Tech going to the Sweet 16 over Buffalo.
Okay. And then Nevada versus Michigan, I believe is where we were didn't and I think we're both the same there.
Who can argue against the Michigan program?
Yeah, they're fantastic. Moving in a little bit here, we've got into the Sweet 16. I've got Gonzaga and Florida State, but I think you've got Gonzaga and Murray State.
I do.
Who do you have winning that?
I've got Gonzaga moving into the Elite Eight.
Okay. And then Texas Tech, Michigan. I've got Michigan, but I believe you took Buffalo, so you've got Buffalo, Michigan there.
I've got Texas Tech
Texas Tech
and
is
Michigan.
okay.
But I've got Michigan advancing.
And at the Elite Eight, you've got Gonzaga, Michigan.
I do.
Who do you have going on to the Final Four there?
I've got Michigan going to the Final Four.
I am going to have to agree with you. I'm taking Michigan as well.
I think that's the end of the road for Gonzaga.
On the other side of the board here, we've got the Midwest. You've got North Carolina versus, I don't believe I remember who you took. I think it was Utah State. That's who I've got, and I've got North Carolina winning that.
I've got North Carolina and Kansas,
Okay.
or North Carolina and Utah State. I
Yeah,
got
yeah,
North
yeah.
Carolina advancing. And Auburn against Kansas. I've got Kansas advancing,
Rock Chalk Jayhawk. Same here.
both of them to the Sweet 16, with North Carolina defeating Kansas in the Sweet 16, advancing to the Elite Eight.
Iowa State versus Houston, which is gonna be in the 32
In what
in the
bracket?
Midwest. In the Midwest bracket. Staying in the
Yeah.
Midwest bracket
Oh,
at
yeah,
32.
in the court. So, yeah,
You
and I
took.
have number three seed Houston
Yep. And
over the
then
Iowa State.
you took Wofford over Seton Hall, and then we've got
I
Kentucky.
did.
So who do
I
you got
did. And
there?
unfortunately, it's not going to be one of those Cinderella years for Wolford. So I got Kentucky advancing to the Sweet 16 meet in Houston, and I've
Yep.
got Kentucky advancing.
Me as well. So my then I've got North Carolina, Kentucky, and I think that the Tar Heels are going to pull that out.
And I've got the same rank with that.
Okay. I mean, I got the so my final four, and I believe yours is similar. I've got Duke and Michigan and Virginia, North Carolina.
We are on the same page.
In the final four on the left side of the bracket, Duke and Michigan. I mean, Duke is just, like I said, they are fantastic. I think Duke is going to pull that out. It's going to be a close one, but I think Zion is going to be the difference maker there, and he's going to just run all over Michigan. Who
You know,
you
if he
got?
can stay healthy and get down in the paint, and not only down in the paint, that guy can actually shoot from the outside.
Yeah.
But I think Duke's just going to be a little bit too much for Michigan.
Virginia, North Carolina. Who do you got?
You know, that was really a toss-up with those two teams. They're such an image program this year on their basketball court. And of course, with me being a Tar Heel fan, just that little edge went to North Carolina.
Yeah, okay. So you're taking North Carolina. Here's the thing. I think Virginia has a chip on their shoulder this year. I think they're going to make it all the way to the national
Okay,
championship game.
okay,
Duke versus
okay.
Virginia. It goes against everything I want to do. I'd love to see North Carolina get in there and get the opportunity to take another national championship, but I just don't see it for them this year. So I'm going with my final two are going to be Duke, Virginia, and finally I'm going to have Virginia pulling it all the way out and taking it.
Okay, hey, I can go with that, but that's not my choice. But you know, I'll be happy if I see that.
So who do you got? You got Duke winning it all then?
I've got Duke going all the way.
That
Yes, I
sounds
do.
good. As far as tiebreaker here, I don't really know. I'm not too good with this. I'm going to take, I think it'll be pretty close. It'll be 72 to 70, final score, in that game. It's going to be high scoring. I think both of the teams are going to, you know what? Actually, Virginia, I'm going to go 64, 61. I think it'll be close, but I think Virginia will eke it out by a 3-pointer there, and I might as well
Yeah,
enter on this.
I'll give you a big kiss if Virginia wins.
All right. So, that is our bracket for the 2019
How fun
season.
was that?
It was pretty
How
fun.
fun was that?
It's a
Wow.
lot to get through though. I got to be honest with you. There's a
It
lot of teams,
does.
and you
Yeah.
know what's funny is every year what I do is I go through and I do this bracket and I do this top part of the bracket and I forget that the bottom one even exists. And then when I get in there, I'm like, how do I have not enough
The
points?
first four in, you mean?
No, I do this. This, are you looking at the mixer thing right now?
Not at the moment, but I
So
can,
I'll do
yeah.
like the top left of the bracket and the top right of the bracket, and I'll pick
Okay.
like the teams who are going to win that. And I'm like, oh yeah, those teams. And then I pick a winner out of that. And then I'm like, oh my goodness, I've still got 32 teams I've got to go through and do this. And it happens to me just about every year. The only reason it's not this year is
Yeah.
because we're doing it live and we're talking about it. But I mean, it's so much to think about, and I don't watch college
It
basketball
is.
that much, and so I'm making it based off of just completely arbitrary ideas and things. So
And it's probably one of the biggest, you know, shows or sports that's watched on TV too. It's the most exciting sport, I think, event
oh yeah,
during the year.
absolutely. But with that, I think we're gonna wrap it up here. We're probably gonna be pretty close to our 50-minute mark that we've been trying to keep it under, or under an
Yeah.
hour. But as always, it's been fun.
Well, I enjoyed it.
All right, Dad, I love you. Have a great week.
All right, love you. You too. And we'll talk to you next Wednesday.
Sounds good.
All right, we'll do it.